When the writer of the poem about creation began the scriptures, there was no better image to describe the chaos that existed before the Word of God was able to speak into that chaos to proclaim His order and His new life of creation than the image of the waters of chaos. That was this whole image, and right away, peoples of the ancient world would have understood the fear and the whole disorder that was present in that image of the choppy waves of any body of water, the sea, the oceans, the lake the size of the Sea of Galilee. They hated the sea. They would only set sail with great trepidation just because it was the most convenient and would save many days of journeying in order to go across the water. This image of this storm at night, this gale blowing, was certainly evocative. I mean, I didn't grow up near the ocean. Our farm was, you know, some distance from the sea. So it was only, I remember, the first time when we stayed at my aunt's house. Her holiday house was down by the beach. And that first night of hearing the roar of the water, the roar of the waves that night, and just thinking, oh my gosh, will we ever get to sleep with this sound of the waves? And at nighttime, those waves, the sound of that noise is so much more oppressive and so much more real than, you know, when you can, at least in the day, you can see it, you can kind of relate to what's causing the noise. But at night, when you've just got the sounds and the fury kind of all around you, it's certainly that sense of being overwhelmed by it. And so you can see in the ancient world that they would have been so dreaded of this experience. Even though half of the apostles are fishermen, and they probably would have been caught in squalls and storms and gales before. But obviously this night, this particular night, everything seemed to be just that much larger than life. And the fact that, you know, the waves were beginning to crash over the bow of the boat, and that whole sense of the boat was beginning just to take on too much water, and they were really scared witless. The whole sense that this was the day, this was the moment perhaps when everything was going to end for them. Undoubtedly, they would have all known people that had drowned on the lake, who had been overwhelmed in their little rickety boats, and so they thought, perhaps this is our night. And so it's, you know, no small wonder that in the midst of all of this, when, where is Jesus asleep and what's he doing? This typical male response. He's even made himself nice and comfortable. The cushion is there, and he's got, you know, a nice curled up kind of fetal position, just lying there. There's no, not a care in the world. And you're like, man, what is going on here? Jesus, we're dying. Where are you? I mean, how many times have we cried out to the Lord in the same kind of way? How many times have we just felt so overwhelmed by all of the events and things that are happening to us? Things that we never asked for, things that we never planned, things that we never expected would be the mark and characteristic of our life. And yet this is the things that we're facing right now. You know, it might be the death of a loved one. It might be when you've lost your job, or it might be when you've been asked to move across the country. Or this whole sense of this experience of being so overwhelmed by events that are just out of your control. Things that are just too much to experience. And you just think, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you doing something about this? Why aren't you calming the waves and allowing this little rickety boat to make its way safely across this lake to the other shore? Sometimes the Lord seems to be absent. Sometimes he doesn't seem to care. But perhaps he's just there, present in the boat, and we've just ignored him. We've just haven't even allowed that experience of his presence to be something that guides and shapes us. The Lord has never promised us that there will be no storm. The Lord has never promised us that there won't be gales that we will face in our lives. But he has promised that he will be there, even if it is sometimes asleep, curled up on that cushion. But he will be there. He will be able to when he awakes, to, with just this simple command of his voice, to say to the waves and the storms that seem to overwhelm us, be quiet now. Be still. Sometimes we need to just have that sense of trust and faith that, no, God's got this. He's in control of all of the situation. He's the one who will, with the power of one simple command, be able to make that declaration into our lives. The secret, I think, is simply remembering that if we stay there in the boat, and the boat has always been a symbol of the church, if we're there in the community, if we remain faithful to that, if we just allow our brothers and sisters to also be there in the midst of those storms and those waves, when we cry out to God, He will answer us. He will ensure that we make it safely across the other shore. We'll probably be wet and cold and miserable in the midst of all of that, but we will be together. We will be able to make it safely to the other shore. That's the secret, I think, in our lives, to continue just to trust, to continue to place our hearts, our lives into the hands of God and allow His power, His command over all creation, to be the one thing that holds and sustains us all.